Jai Radha Madhava Jaya Kunja Bihari
జయ ఓం విష్ణుపాద పరమహంస పరిభ్రాజకాచార్య శ్రీ శ్రీమద్ హిస్ డివైన్ గ్రేస్ శిల భక్తి సిద్ధాంత సరస్వతి ఠాకుర్ బహుపాదికి అనంత కోటి వైష్ణవ వృందకి నామాచార్య శ్రహదాస్ ఠాకురికి ప్రేమ సిహో శ్రీకృష్ణ చైతన్య ప్రభునితానంద శ్రీ అద్వైత గదాధర్ శ్రీవాసాది గౌర భక్త వృందకి శ్రీ శ్రీ రాధా కృష్ణ గోప గోపీనాథ్ శ్యామ కుంద రాధా కుండ శ్రీ గిరి గోవర్ధన్ కి బ్రజభూమి శ్రీ బృందావన ధామకి పురుషోత్తమ క్షేత్ర శ్రీ జగన్నాథ పరిధామకి నవద్వీప మాయాపుర ధామకి గంగామాయ యమునామాయకి భక్తిదేవి తులసి మహారాణికి కలియుగ పావన హరినామ దుర్గంకి హరే కృష్ణ మహామంత్రికి శ్రీల ప్రభుపాద ట్రాన్స్లేషనల్ బుక్ డిస్ట్రిబ్యూషన్కి Thy Gaur Premanande, all glories to assemble the devotees, all glories to assemble the devotees, all glories to assemble the devotees, all glories, all glories, all glories to Sri Guru and Sri Gauranga. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Ajnana Timiranthasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurunmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. Nama Om Vishnupadaya Krishna Prishthaya Bhutale Shrimate Bhaktivedanta Swaminita Namane Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatta Deshtarine Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasati Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Krishna. So we welcome everyone this evening for a discussion on change your destiny. So one of the most interesting topics in modern times has been the discussion on karma. Right? So Krishna says, Kim karma, kim akarmeti. Kavayopyatra mohitaha tatte karma prabhakshami yat gyatva mokshase ashubha. So Krishna defines three types of karma. Karma, akarma and vikarma. Kim karma, kim akarmeti kavayopyatra mohitaha. And he says that this concept is sometimes so complex that even very intelligent people are not able to understand the principles of karma. What is karma? What is akarma? And what is vikarma? So I'll just give a very simple example which everyone in America will understand. You're driving on a highway, right? And the speed limit says 60. So you drive at 80 and the cop comes and hands over a ticket. So then you have to pay the fine. So if the law is 60, you are driving at 80, so that's called vikarma, breaking the law. Right? You are breaking the law. And if you are driving as per the law, under 60, that is karma. So, you know, you go to your destination or whatever. But what is akarma? Akarma is you become the cop. So if the speed limit says 60 and you drive at 80 as a cop, then the guy can't charge you that, hey, you yourself were driving at 90 to catch me. Who will give you the ticket? So therefore, how do you change your destiny? So the first kind of person is trying to avoid going to prison. So just imagine parents telling children, my dear boy, I want to make sure you don't go to jail. What is your, you know, ambition? Not going to jail. Is that a very high ambition? So that's like, you know, karma and vikarma is like that. So what is akarma? That you become a bureaucrat. In India, there is a big craze to become IAS officer. either become a bureaucrat or become a minister, or here they call what, senator or something. So you become part of the government, right? So that is the best. So that is akarma. So how do you change your destiny? Don't fight with the laws of the government. Become the government. Become part of the government. Assist the government. So therefore Krishna is running this entire universe. And then there are so many people who are trying to defy the laws of Krishna. And there are many others who follow the laws, but they are following the laws for their own purposes. That is karma. They are not really assisting Krishna in his purpose. So when a citizen goes above his selfish interests and becomes part of the government and assists the government to achieve their purpose, that is called akarma. So therefore, there are many soldiers who fought battles and won. Arjuna also fought a battle. He won. But for whom did he fight? For Krishna. He fought for the government. And therefore, Krishna explains to him that Mayaivete nihita purvameva nimitta matra bhava savyasaja. You just become an instrument in my hand and then you attain the ultimate glory, my dear Arjuna. So therefore, the Krishna consciousness movement is basically trying to enlist citizens to join the government and assist in the government schemes. That's the whole idea of appealing to change your destiny. So therefore, the Bhagavad Gita is the law book. It contains all the laws of God, all the laws of Krishna. Srimad Bhagavatam also contains all those laws. Once you understand the laws and you decide to follow those laws and go one step ahead and decide to assist the government, that is Krishna, to help others also follow the laws. So then you come to another level. And that is called akarma. Right? So let us take some examples. You must have heard of the famous personality Dhritarashtra. So Dhritarashtra was a blind person. So what happened was that in a previous life, Dhritarashtra was actually a hunter. And he shot an arrow at a nest, and that nest with 100 eggs fell down. And so all those potential children who could be born, the birds, they were destroyed. So he committed this particular crime. So there is some action. So he needs to get a reaction for that. But he had to wait for 100 lifetimes after that birth as a hunter. He had to wait for 100 lifetimes before he could become Dhritarashtra. And when he became Dhritarashtra, then he got 100 sons. So why he had to wait 100 lifetimes? Because to produce 100 sons, you need a lot of piety. So he waited for 100 lifetimes, creating the piety, the pious credits, by which he will actually be able to produce 100 sons in a future life. But the purpose of producing those 100 sons, as per what was awaiting him, was he go through the suffering of losing those 100 sons. So that is how subtle the laws work. So therefore, the law enforcing agencies are acting within, and he is known as the Paramatma, the witness. Upadrishta, Anumanta, Bharta, Bhokta, Maheshwara, Paramatmeti Chapyukta, Dehesnim, Purushottama. That Supreme Lord is within as Paramatma. He is the Upadrishta, He is the witness. Anumanta, He is the permitter. Bharta Bhokta Maheshwara is the master, and He is the supreme enjoyer, and He is the supreme controller. Okay. So then Dhritarashtra finally got his 100 sons. But the purpose of getting those 100 sons was so that each one will get destroyed and Dhritarashtra can go through the misery and suffering of seeing his sons killed. So therefore, when we get something, many times we are very joyful, thinking that this is going to be the cause of my great pleasure. But we should not rejoice prematurely, because we do not know. Probably that particular item has come to us to create more misery. So there is a story of Maharaj Chitraketu. Maharaj Chitraketu was a great king. In the 6th canto of Bhagavatam it is described. As a great king, he had a great desire, and his desire was to get a son. So he married one wife. He couldn't produce a son. He married second time. Again he didn't get a son. He married third time. Again he didn't get a son. The desires which we have within the heart, it is described that the number of desires each one of us carry, they are so unlimited that if there is a page to write on which is as huge as the sky, and there is ink available in volume equivalent to all the ocean, and then you have a pen to write with that ink on that paper, the ink will exhaust, the paper will exhaust, the desire list will not exhaust. So among these, King Chitraketu had that particular desire to get a son. So he married third wife, fourth wife, fifth wife. He went on marrying, and you may find it unbelievable, but Bhagavatam says that he had 10 million wives. He had 1 crore wives. So I say that he is the original crorepati. Amitabh Bachchan later started, Kaun banega crorepati? But Bhagavatam has already answered, Kaun bana crorepati? Only Chitraketu. But why? For fulfilling that one desire. So Narad Muni and Parvat Muni and these rishis, they enter. And when they look at Chitraketu Maharaj's face, they say, "Arey, just by looking at you, we can understand you are miserable like hell. Something is wrong with you. What's wrong with you?" And then Chitraketu Maharaj says that I have practically all the opulences which money can buy. Every kind of opulence I have which even the demigods envy. But because of not having fulfilled one desire, my situation is like that of a guy who is fasting. And when someone is fasting, he is focused totally only on one thing. How to break that fast. Right? You must have experienced in Nirjal Ekadashi. By chance, if you do Nirjal, first of all, before Nirjal, you start drinking more. And then on the day of, many people say, "Arey, why Krishna appeared Janmashtami late night? Ram is more mercifully appeared afternoon." Krishna appeared late in the night and we are counting. As Krishna's appearance time nears, rather than being focused on Krishna, we are thinking more. How many hours to go for the water break? So just imagine that you have done a complete Nirjal Ekadashi. You know, you do this Pandav Nirjal Ekadashi and Next day morning, you have to break the fast. And you are sitting there with your glass. And the whole container of lemon juice is there, ready to be served. And then you are waiting for this person to serve you that. And the person who is about to serve, he comes there and offers full prostrate obeisances to you. Starts offering prayers also. Is that what you need at that moment? You say, okay, thank you, Prabhu. Okay. Next. Then he brings out a garland from his bag and offers you garland. Okay, thank you, thank you. Can we begin? He takes out chandan and starts offering chandan. Then he offers a shawl to you. Now your patience is too much. You can't handle it anymore. You get up and serve yourself and drink. Because at that moment, what you need the most is the water, the lemon juice. You need to break your fast. So at that moment, all thoughts disappear. The desire for respect, fame, worship, this, that, nothing. Vyavasaya atmika buddhi. Only that water is prominent. But that is the nature of desires. The material desires surface in the ocean of our heart. And when they surface, they make us feel that at this moment, I need only this. Nothing else matters. And then they force us to fulfill that. Then the next one comes up. And in this way, we become fully preoccupied with the game of fulfilling those desires. Scientists performed an interesting experiment. He put a rat in a cage. He designed a special cage. In that cage, he had many buttons on the floor. And then each button was connected to a trap door on the roof of the cage. And if the rat would step on one of the buttons, then the roof would open. And some item would fall from the roof. Every button was connected to another, to a different roof, to a different opening in the roof. So one button he pressed, a piece of bread fell. Another button, a piece of stone hit him. Another button, water fell down. So then the rat, in his movements, noted which are the buttons which are giving bread or some other item to eat. And specifically he noted which button is throwing the stone and hitting me on my head. So in the full day he made that, okay, this button, stone will fall on my head. I should not touch this button tomorrow. So he went to sleep at night. The scientists changed the combination at night. So this guy in the morning gets up and says, okay, this one gave me bread. Boom! Boom! Stone fell on the head. Bewildered, right? Yesterday I pressed the same button, bread fell. How stone is falling? Something is going wrong. Am I losing my memory? What's happening? And then he struggles that day to find out which is the button which gives bread. Next day again the combination changes. So this guy's whole day goes simply in calculating which button is giving the bread, which one is giving the stone. How to get this, how to avoid this. And he got so absorbed in that game that after a month the scientist opened the door of the cage. He opened the door of the cage. That means he is free to go. The rat looks at the open door, looks at the buttons and says, this is interesting. I can't leave this game. And outside, so many dangers are there. Cat is there. You know, so many other snakes are there. Here, there must be some stones falling, but at least I'm in control. By the end of the day, I'm in control. That's our story. That we get so engrossed in fighting this battle on a daily basis, that even if someone shows us the way, come on, this is the way out. He says, no. I'm just enjoying carrying my burden and I won't trade it with anything else. So therefore, the whole idea is here, Chitraketu Maharaj, he was so obsessed with fulfilling that desire of getting a son that he told Narada Muni, I want this one son at any cost. He said, but there is no guarantee. You want happiness or you want son? He said, both are same. Getting a son means happiness. So he said, okay, take this son. Tathastu. So he got a son. So one of the queens, her name was Tritadyuti, out of the 1 crore. She got a son. And then Narad Muni said, you keep the name of this son, Harsha Shoka. Harsha Shoka. Harsha Shoka means, when he is born, he will give Harsha. Later he will give Shoka. So he predicted. But Chitraketu Maharaj said, yeah, probably he will misbehave, probably he will not get A grade. He may not get engineering admission. You know, he will be naughty now and then. It's okay, I will tolerate that Shoka and I will, no problem. I want the Harsha. Get it going. So many times we are aware of what is going to happen, but still we are so obsessed that we don't pay attention. So the son came. So when the son came, other queens became jealous. So they poisoned the son. So the son died. And now the Shoka began. And then Kritadyuti is lamenting. She started, you know, speaking so many ill things about the Almighty. And then Chitraketu Maharaj is lamenting. They all fell down. Again Narada Muni came. Said, what happened? He said, hurry, my son is gone. So Narada Muni revived the son and said to the son, hey, your parents are lamenting, get up, do something. He said, which parents? Which lifetime? I don't remember. There are so many lifetimes, which particular lifetime? Guna pravaha etasmin kah shapah kanu anugraha. So he says that in the waves of this river of time, what is shapa, what is anugraha? It is very difficult to understand. What is blessing and what is curse is very difficult to understand and ascertain. So therefore, we have to be dutiful in what we do, and that's what Krishna explains to Arjuna in the Bhagavad Gita. Right? Just like there was a king. The king went out for hunting with his minister. When he was hunting, he shot some arrows, and in the process of shooting arrows, his little finger got cut. Right? So when the little finger got cut, he told his minister, "Hey, my God, I have lost my finger." So minister was always a great devotee. He said, whatever happens is mercy of Lord. By Lord's mercy, you became king. By Lord's mercy, you are going for hunting. By Lord's mercy, you lost finger. It's all Krishna's grace, His divine grace. This guy got very angry. Hey, what is this? I lost my finger and you are saying it is by His grace? I'll throw you in jail. Okay, that is also Lord's grace. So he threw him in jail. So another minister came and said, yes, my dear king, you did very, very right. This guy in the name of devotee and everything, he keeps speaking all this philosophy, all bogus. I always wanted him out. Now he's put in jail. Very good. Now I'll make sure that you get the right advice from me. So the new minister joined. And both of them again went for hunting. So this time, they were caught by a group of cannibals who were, you know, interested in eating human beings. So they looked at the king and this minister, and they looked at the king and said, hey, he looks really good and healthy. He'll be good for our sacrifice. So they tie up a king around a pole and they light a fire and ready for the sacrifice. Suddenly one of the cannibals comes near him and sees his finger and says, hey, this fellow is not complete human being. His finger is cut. He is not complete. He is not acceptable to be offered. So release him. So they released him. They said, what do we do? Catch this other guy. He may not look so good, but he will do, at least he is complete. So they sacrificed the minister, the king came running back, came straight to the prison house, released the old minister, said, hey, my God, Now today I realized, when you said it is all Krishna's mercy, what happened, your finger got cut. Because of that cut finger I was released. I escaped today. So the minister said, I told you it was Krishna's grace. So then he is asking the minister, but what about you? You went to the jail. How that was Krishna's grace? Said minister said, if I was not in jail, where I would be with you? Because I was in jail, I was saved. So it is grace. So therefore, till the final whistle is blown, you don't know which way the match is going. So many times we start celebrating beforehand. Therefore, when you come to Krishna consciousness, you realize that the match is for full lifetime. And the final breath is the final visit. Otherwise, many people start thinking that every 2 years, match is ending. And they start celebrating prematurely. So therefore, there are many battles which we have to fight. But we have to focus on winning the war. And Krishna says, Antakale chamam eva smaran muktva kalevaram. Whatever we think of at the time of death, that state we attain after death. Whatever you think of at death, you will attain that state after death. That is how you change your destiny. So if you are thinking of enjoying something, then immediately in next life you will get opportunity to enjoy that. So therefore, how do you change your destiny? By changing your desires and thoughts. How do you change your desires and thoughts? By changing the association you keep. Because most important part of today's lecture is association creates aspirations. So as soon as you change your association, your aspiration will change. There was one boy in Brazil. He had a great desire to put some tattoo on his arms. So his father had purchased one Bhagavad Gita and kept at his house. So this boy thought, let me have a tattoo of some interesting Sanskrit script which none of my friends will understand. And when they look at something they don't understand, they'll think it's really cool because they can't figure out what it is. But still they may ask me for the meaning, and if I don't know the meaning, I will look stupid. So therefore, let me search for the best two shlokas, one for the right hand, one for the left hand. So he started reading the Bhagavad Gita, Prabhupada's Gita. By the time he completed 700 shlokas to find out the best two verses, Krishna tattooed his heart. He got transformed. He became a devotee. By the association. Association of the Bhagavad Gita. Right? Our devotees were putting up a, you know, book table in a company. We go company to company distributing books. So they have this employee's record. So when the workers come out in shift time, lunch time and all, then, you know, they just come, take the Bhagavad Gita, and we have like 5-6 books ready. They take it and then they just sign on their employee number, and later it's all credit basis. So when it's on credit, they don't even realize, you know, what they are taking. They say, oh, whatever you gave him, give me also. So in one company we went, the main manager was not giving permission. And our man was telling him, hey sir, you are Bengali, you are from Bengal, Mahaprabhu is from Bengal, Lord Chaitanya is from Bengal, you should give permission. No, I don't want to give any permission. So this devotee gave him a, you know, nice lamination, Radha Krishna, and gave him some sweets, said no problem, and one Bhagavad Gita. This is what we wanted to distribute, but you are not allowing, but anyway, you take it as a gift. 1 week later, this devotee gets a call from the same manager, said, hey, I want you guys to come and distribute here. What happened? Said, no, you come. So they brought and set up a table and they started distributing. But still this devotee was curious. Why did he allow now suddenly? So he called his manager and said, hey, You had denied permission, suddenly how did you change your mind? He said, when I went to home, I gave that Gita to my wife. She opened the pages and looked at me, and for the first time in 6 months, she smiled at me. And I thought, if this book can make her smile, it will make anyone smile. So I thought everyone should benefit from this. So I gave it permission. So this Bhagavad Gita is very powerful. I was distributing books in a train. I showed the Gita. I spoke the story that day in Detroit. This guy is telling me, I already have Gita. My father bought it. My grandfather also bought it. I have two Gitas. So I gave him some prasadam, gave him card of temple, and I went to the next compartment. This guy came chasing behind me. Said, oh, give me one more Gita. Rari, you already have two Gitas, why you want from me? He said, I want because last 6 months my boss is criticizing me, my wife is angry upon me, my children are not appreciating me, everyone is morose. You are the first person who smiled at me. And because you smiled at me, I want to purchase the Gita from you. I said, if I knew, I would have laughed loudly. And probably sold you a whole Bhagavatam set or something. So material world in Kali Yuga is so filled with misery that people are not aware how to transform our aspirations, our desires. The more selfish we become, the more miserable we will become. And the more selfless you become, the more blissful you will become. So most people think this is a crazy idea. This doesn't make sense at all. Well, you have to try it out to figure it out. Therefore, the basis for happiness is gratitude, service attitude, and a sense of selfless service. And that's how you begin to change your destiny. You may feel worried, oh, what will happen? How will things function? You know, but no. You just do three things. Chant Hare Krishna every day, because you have to start transforming your thoughts today. There was this person called Ajamil. He was a nice devotee. He had a son called Narayan. He deviated by actually associating with a prostitute. He left his family and everything. And in the last moment when Yamadutas came to capture him, he remembered his son when he saw the Yamadutas. Right? And when he saw the Yamadutas, he cried out, Narayan, Narayan, Narayan. At that time the Vishnudutas came and saved him. Gave him another chance. So Ajamil says, Kocha aham kitavat papa, brahmakya nirapatrapa, kocha narayana keti bhagavan nama mangala. Lord is so merciful that He has descended on my tongue and allowed me to be purified in spite of me being so sinful. One college student telling me, my ideal is Ajamil. Ajamil is my Mahajan. And I said, kyon bhai? Pata hai? Maja bhi kiya, Bhagavad Dham bhi kiya. I said, he was very, very fortunate, but it's a very risky take. We don't know whether you will get that kind of chance or not. So many people think, "Arre, why I have to start chanting now itself? When the last moment comes, I will chant." No, it is not possible. Because whatever thoughts we cultivate all through our life, at the time of death, those thoughts will continue. It is not possible to change your thoughts immediately. If you are moving at 100 miles per hour, you can't just take a U-turn at that speed. You have to slow down and then you have to turn and change direction. Changing direction takes time. There was this businessman who was fully absorbed in making money. And he was so miserly that his sons became fed up with him. He was 85 years old and still not giving the business to the sons. So the sons caught hold of one sadhu and said, "Hey, Sadhu Baba, Swamiji, take our father around for pilgrimage. You start from Vrindavan, go to Haridwar, Rishikesh, Varanasi. Wherever you want to go, you go. We will keep supplying you money. Make sure you don't bring him back. Take him for an eternal pilgrimage. Make sure his heart is transformed and he goes to the next world peacefully." I don't know why even at this age he keeps thinking about all business and money only. The sadhu said, "I will try my best." So he took this father, started visiting holy place after holy place. Wherever he would go, this guy would only get new business plan. So after 1 month, the sadhu called the sons and said, "Hey, looks like if I spend some more time, I will start a business. His desires are too strong. I am giving up." The son said, no, don't give up. Try some more places. He may transform." Said, "Okay, fine, I'll try some more." So he took him to Varanasi. So in Varanasi, there is Dashashwamedh Ghat where they burn all the bodies. As soon as they entered the burning ghat, the cremation ground, this guy started crying. The businessman started crying profusely. And the sadhu felt, at last, success. Something is happening. Said, "So, you understand what a mistake you made?" And the businessman, "Yeah, I made a huge mistake." "So, what is your realization? How you are going to now respond in life?" And the businessman said, "I made the biggest mistake that all my life I did cloth business. If I knew so much of wood was in demand, I would have done wood business." So even at that moment, when you see dead bodies burning, he is not thinking how my life is temporary. He is thinking, I could have supplied more wood. So one should not expect that overnight the thoughts will change. Overnight thoughts will not change. You have to have a whole lifetime of association and practice. With association and practice, abhyasena tu kaunteya vairagyena tu gṛhyate asamshayam mahābāho mano durnigraham cha. So therefore, it's very important that we come in the association of devotees, have satsang. And in satsang, by hearing these discussions, doubts are created. The step one to faith is doubt. How is that? Because you must begin to doubt your present paradigm. So our business is to sow seeds of doubt in the current paradigm that material life is perfect. Whatever I am doing, I don't need any more help. Everything is great, everything is fine. And when you start doubting that principle, then you will desire to know more about what is an alternative paradigm. So by further association, you will get further knowledge. So association, books, chanting and diet, A, B, C, D. In association, you hear from the books. Today you heard from Gita, Bhagavatam. Then you come and chant Hare Krishna. We are going to be doing Kirtan. We chant Japa every day. And then every day for your food, you take vegetarian diet without onion and garlic offered to Krishna like he's doing. So this will be prasadam. So when you honor Krishna prasadam, your heart gets transformed. So you will ask, what is the proof? You try it for 1 month and see how the heart gets transformed just by having this Krishna prasadam. So these are some of the ways you can change your question. Any questions? Yeah, probably he didn't do the kind of activities which create honorable sons. He was destined to have sons who need to be killed. So if he had produced pious sons or how they would have got killed like this, all at once. They had to do something nasty. Only then they'll get killed at one shot. So therefore you got nasty sons.
That means you did not go to
the
pious. Some pious to get a son.
There are four kinds of sons. Sons are of four types. Do you know that? Okay. Type one. Type one of son is called Shatruputra. Some enemy from previous lifetimes, he is born as a son. And right from, you know, his main mission is to give you trouble. Somehow or the other, he will make sure you are in trouble. Right? Second type of son is called Rinanubandhi. Rinanubandhi means one from whom you have taken a huge loan in the last life but didn't repay and died. He has come in this life to equalize that credit. So when he's 16, 17 years old, he'll tell you, I have a great business plan, Dad. Can you arrange a 1 million loan for me? I said, oh beta, okay, take, everything is for you only. That's it, everything gone. I said, Dad, we are bankrupt, Dad. Hey, how this happened? Because his purpose is to make sure that he takes away every penny. Nothing remains. Third kind of son is called Udaseen Putra. Udaseen means totally neutral, detached. Whether whatever is going on in house, any problem going on, he is in his own world. Right? He may represent some of the verses of Bhagavad Gita, Sukha Dukha Same Kirtva, Labha Labha Jaya Jayo. In happiness, distress, pain, pleasure, in family, he is Udaseen. Fourth kind of son is called Sevaka Putra. One who actually takes responsibility of the family and serves and is very emotionally connected to help. So you should know, whenever you are producing a son, there is a 75% risk chance. And because many people don't know that, they are very enthusiastic to go ahead. And they are wondering what happened. The Shastras already described the risk factors.
So what is it for daughters?
Yeah, I mean, same thing, progeny basically. Someone who's like your child. So that's the point. That's the response to your question. So Duryodhan definitely appears to be like a Shatruputra. Yeah. Yeah.
So my question was, is destiny absolute? In the sense that whenever we are born, is it destined that we will become a devotee and, you know, all those things are going to happen? Or is it not like that? And if there is some verse which says that destiny is not absolute and actually becoming a devotee, we are actually changing all your destiny. Is there a specific verse from the Shastra which say that?
Which says that what?
That when you take up a devotional service, then all the planets and everything, malefic and all those things, they are...
Krishna says, Aham Tvam Sarva Papebhyo Mokshayishyami. Mahashucha. Mahashucha means don't worry. I will free you from all sinful reactions. Sarva Dharman Parityajya. Somebody was asking Radha Govind Maharaj, अरे महाराज हमारे पाप नहीं छूट रहे हैं, हमारी आदतें नहीं छूट रही हैं, महाराज से, अरे पाप छोड़ने कहाँ बोल रहे कृष्ण, कृष्ण बोल रहे धर्म को छोड़ो, सर्वधर्मान परित्यज, पाप को मत छोड़ो, क्या छोड़ो, धर्म को छोड़ो, अहम त्वाम सर्व पापेभ्यो, कृष्ण आपको पाप से छुड़ाएंगे। सो व्हाट इज द मीनिंग ऑफ धर्म को छोड़ो, योर स्टीरियोटाइप आइडियाज ऑफ व्हाट आई शुड बी डूइंग, व्हाट इज माय ड्यूटी, व्हाट इज द कॉन्सेप्शन ऑफ गॉड, व्हाट इज द प्रोसेस ऑफ अटेनिंग गॉड, सो मेनी कॉन्सेप्ट्स विच वी कैरी, दे प्रिवेंट अस फ्रॉम एक्चुअली प्रैक्टिसिंग द प्रॉपर पाथ, एंड देयरफॉर वी फेल टू एक्सेस Krishna's help in freeing us from sinful reactions. Sarva dharman parityajya mamekam charanam. So, in the Bhagavatam also, so many verses come. Klesha bhuri alpasarani karmani vipulani va. As soon as you practice devotional service, all kinds of your sinful reactions are destroyed. In Nectar of Devotion, you will read the Padma Puran verse which says that Kutam Bijam Phalon Mukham, all levels of karmas are destroyed. So therefore, the process of bhakti is very powerful. Kechit Kevalaya Bhaktya Vasudeva Parayana Agham Dhunvanti Kartsneya Niharam Iva Bhaskar. This is the sixth canto verse, and this is the exact verse which answers your question. Kechit Kevalaya Bhaktya. When you do Kevala Bhakti, Kevala Bhakti means one-pointed, determined, focused devotional service to Krishna. Vasudeva Parayana. And you become Parayana to Vasudeva. That means you surrender unto Vasudeva, follow the path of Lord Vasudeva. Then what happens? Agham, that means your sins. Dhunvanti, they are cleansed. Kartsneya, completely. Just like Niharam Iva Bhaskara, when the sun comes out, the fog dissipates and the rays of the sun light up and illuminate all directions. So that is the power of devotional service. So therefore, you know, there are hundreds of verses which describe how devotional service is all powerful. Any other question? Yeah. Right, right.
So, how should we?
Yeah. So, basically, we are concerned with two things. One is, live peacefully, and after death, live eternally with Krishna. So when you take the message of Bhagavad Gita, then the Bhagavad Gita helps you to prepare for the final destination by integrating all of your activities of this life in a way which helps you think of Krishna at all times. So Krishna explains in the Bhagavad Gita that Mam anusmara yudhyacha mayyarpita mano buddhir mame vaishyasi asamshaya tasmat sarveshu kaleshu. Arjuna, at all times, what you should do? Mam anusmara, think of me, and yudhacha, and fight. Mayyarpita mano buddhir, and thus offering your mind, body and words to me, you will attain me without fail. So what does it mean? Just like you are taking care of a child. So you may be in your job or office or somewhere, but your thoughts are focused. What the son needs, what the daughter needs, what do I need to do? So like that, if we are able to bring thoughts of Krishna, oh, this thing has come in front of me, should I eat this? Will Krishna like this? So the way you think of how whether your son or daughter will like it or not like it, if you start thinking whether Krishna will like it or not like it, so you are also including Krishna within the scope of your thoughts. So therefore your whole horizon is expanding. And so thinking about other objects of love increases your anxiety. You start thinking from point of view of Krishna, your anxiety will start dissipating. That's the difference between keeping Krishna as the object of meditation and other objects of this world. And then once you have Krishna as the object of meditation, then your husband, your children, your family, all your career and everything will just fall in place, because your final destination is clear. So people are leading their lives. I mean, if we are just saying that, okay, if you're on a journey, then you say, okay, let me put, you know, a food basket and a water bottles and some, you know, items for sleeping and my dresses and suitcase and this and that and everything. And then someone comes and says, but where are you going? Hey, don't disturb me, I'm packing up. I've still not taken this suitcase. But what's your destination? Shh, relax. I'm busy. That's people's lives. They are busy grabbing things for the journey without stopping to think what's the destination of the journey. So we are just coming in and just asking this question very gently. Where are you going? What's your destination? Have you thought about it? And people say, hey, come on, don't disturb our life. You guys are all frustrated and this and that. You don't have a Mercedes Benz to drive, that's why you're discouraging others who are driving on nice cars and everything. Whether you're driving Mercedes or you're driving Katara Gadi, at least you need to know destination. So then immediately people respond, nobody knows the destination. What do you think? You only know the destination or what? So if vehicles are moving and nobody knows destination, that's why there is so much of accident and so much chaos. And you can see in the world. The whole world is in turmoil. Because the individual is in turmoil. The smallest unit, family, is in turmoil. A unit of family, society, is in turmoil. A unit of society's nation is in turmoil. There is unrest, violence, bloodshed everywhere. Is it a symptom of a society at peace? 100 million human beings have been killed by other human beings between 1900 to 2000. Is that a symptom of an advancing society? And why will someone kill? There is so much of violence within. There is so much of restlessness within. So therefore, Gita is simply helping us set the GPS. Okay, this is your destination. So we are not saying that, you know, don't concern yourself with the journey. But if you understand the destination, then probably you will prepare yourself right for the journey. You know, if you're traveling to Delhi in the month of June and you're packing sweater, socks, jacket, you know, caps, and then, you know, someone is saying, hey, why are you packing so much, an extra whole luggage? No. Whenever I travel, I take this. But where are you traveling? At what time are you traveling? What is your destination? So if you know your destination, so then depending on that, probably even your travel will become easier. Is it not? So we are thinking, what is the goal? Okay, we have to outdo this fellow. Outdo in what? Carrying the rocks. He is carrying 50 kilo. I am only carrying 30 kilo. I have 20 more kilos to go. Where are the rocks? Pick it up. So therefore, we have to know, we have to get the right perspective. So definitely we are saying that you have to take care of your family, you have to take care of your responsibilities, you have to take care of your relationships, but all integrated around the ultimate goal. Right? So therefore, just like here we offered the food to Krishna. It's a simple act, but it transforms the consciousness of people. Why? Because one who eats products of violence, after death, his destiny becomes very degraded, and the descriptions are there, where such people go and what happens. So if you really love your family members, the future of your family is in your hands. It's in every kitchen. The future of a family is in the kitchen, more than in the office. So I have also written a cookbook. It's called Bhajan Se Bhojan. Bhajan Se Bhojan. Right? So you have to understand that the most powerful thing is the food. Because you can say, I don't have time to chant. Someone can say, I don't have time for Gita. Someone can say, I don't have time for satsang. Nobody can say, I don't have time for lunch or breakfast or dinner. You may refrain from chanting for a week. I don't think anyone here refrained from eating for a week. So therefore, if you get the food right, then everything else also follows. So then one may think, "Arey, does it really work or this or that? Who can prove it? You have to try it. Then only you will experience it." That is called prasadam. So therefore, even if we are hearing this little late, as they say, better late than never. At some point of time, we have to appreciate and understand how all of these choices make a huge difference in our life. Okay? Any other question?
Yeah. How do we, like, supposing we do something and the results are not as we imagine to be or as we want to be?
Right.
We might want to succeed in something, but that doesn't right. happen. Get that maturity of, you know, thinking that this is happening as per Krishna's will, this is happening in His right. mercy or whatever. It, in that situation, we always tend to,
yes.
you know, be negative about it.
Yes. So, very good question, that when things don't work out the way we expect, how do we deal with that situation? Right? So, it's basically the art of tolerance. How do you tolerate? I'll give an example of yoga. That when someone, you know, does yoga, and if someone is not used to doing yoga, then he finds it difficult to bend also. And once he bends, he can't get up. So either he can bend or he cannot bend at all. Why? Because the body is not flexible. Okay. So similarly, when there is a certain goal expected and then the reality turns out to be different from our expectation, you know, so we are expecting something here, the reality turns out something here. So there is a huge gap between the expectation and the reality. Okay. So basically, just like in yoga, if you are standing like this and then your head is made to bend like this, if you are an accomplished yoga person and your body is flexible and supple, you will again rise back. Because the body is flexible. It can bend in any direction and come back in any direction. Similarly, calamities in life make us bend down. So your mind, which is a repository of desires, The mind has to become flexible. So your flexibility of the mind is tested by unforeseen and unplanned calamities and events. And therefore, when you are expecting something here but you find something here, then how the mind is able to face that reality and again bounce back will depend on how your mind has been trained to be supple, flexible. And that flexibility of the mind is created through regular exercise. So that exercise of the mind is called mantra meditation. So there is a process by which the mind can be strengthened. Right? So when you are doing yoga, then your stamina increases, your strength increases, your flexibility increases, your resilience increases. All those apply to the mind also. So therefore, when you subject your mind to positive sound vibration of chanting mantra and hearing the sound vibration of discussions of the Gita and Bhagavatam, so it acts as nourishment for the mind, exercise for the mind, and the mind becomes strong. So there is a scientific technique to strengthen yourself internally. If there was no such process, people would not spend years and years doing it. You don't become accomplished yogi in 24 hours. Right? It's not that you get up from bed and then decide, okay, tomorrow I'm going to become a yoga teacher. And you take out Iyengar's book and start something, put your head behind your head, and then you land up in an orthopedic, you know, hospital with a fracture. Because flexibility means you do it and come back also. So therefore, when people don't have that flexibility, they say, I broke down. Broke down means unable to come back and face at the level of the reality and again start with fresh enthusiasm. So I quoted this morning, success means the ability to go from failure to failure without loss of enthusiasm. But that's easier said than done. It requires a fair degree of practice in the good association. And that's what this satsang is all about. That you start training up and then you see that Arjuna lost his son, Abhimanyu. He lamented, he cried, but he didn't give up his duty. He continued fighting. So to feel emotional when there is failure is not a problem. It's natural. It must be done. But after you face the loss, then how do you bounce back and continue on with your duty? So therefore, there are four levels of motivation. Lowest level is, one is motivated by fear. Next level of motivation is, one is motivated by desire. Third level is, one is motivated by a sense of duty. And fourth level is, one is motivated by a sense of love. And that motivation out of a sense of love is the highest. Because one is willing to sacrifice oneself completely for the sake of the beloved. So that's how great devotees since time immemorial have been sacrificing themselves for pleasing Krishna and pleasing God. Those who have led selfish lives, their names, they go into oblivion in the pages of history. And those who have led lives of selflessness, sacrifice, and service to others, their names resound continuously throughout history. Those who kept less for themselves and more for others, you'll always find historically they are always more known. So therefore you should know that that is the method for becoming peaceful and joyful. So naturally, everyone will experience so many situations where it is totally contrary to what we expect. Right? So the whole idea is that devotional service is the art of aligning our will with Krishna's will. That is bhakti. So Srimad Bhagavatam is nothing but an entire encyclopedia of pastimes, which shows the flow of Krishna's will. Bhagavatam is like a river of Krishna's will. Krishna's will is flowing. The pure devotees, like the Pandavas and the Brajavasis, they are bathing and jumping and swimming in that river, enjoying, because they have no separate will apart from Krishna's will. Whatever is Krishna's will is their will. They are swimming and frolicking in that river. The sadhakas like us, we are jumping in, feeling cold, coming out, struggling, wondering who pushed me into this river. We are trying to come to terms with the current of that will, not fully convinced whether I am doing the right thing by swimming in this fast flowing river. We are already there, but still not fully convinced. So we are not like the accomplished swimmers who are enjoying. Then there is a third category, the asuras, who are trying to dam that river. They are trying to stop that river by putting up dams. They are against that river. They are against that Krishna's will. And then what that river does to such people? It just floods them and drowns them completely. So these are the three categories of people you will find in Bhagavatam. Those who totally submit to the will, those who are struggling to submit, and those who are allergic to that will. So those who are allergic to that will are called the asuras. Those who are struggling, they are like the sadhakas, like many of us. And those who are supremely joyful, submitting to that will, they consider that to be the real prayer. They are the great Vaishnavas, the Raghavanuga Bhaktas. So therefore, your question is, how can we attain to that level? That is, you have to at least begin by struggling. At least begin by trying to swim. You know? And then gradually it will happen. Okay? So thank you all very much. So we will have a small kirtan. And then we will have the sadhana. Yeah, so there is an aarti, so you can all stand to be participating in the aarti.
Once Prabhuji will sing, and then as he's singing, we will hear the holy names.